Hey, welcome everyone to the Hoyt Bow Hunting Podcast. I'm your host, Alan Boland. Today, co-host Evan Williams from Hoyt is joining me, and we have the pleasure of talking to the genius Sean DeGray that founded and built Total Archery Challenge. Sean, how you doing?
Good, man. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, buddy.
After
that was a hell of an introduction, this. Too. Right?
So, did you like that? Genius.
Yeah, I mean, using big words like that.
I don't know where your IQ actually measures, but just looking at results, you're pretty much a genius.
Like 60? Is 60 a good IQ?
There might be a one in front of that.
Yeah.
I actually don't know like IQ levels. So
it's funny, the highest, I think genius is over like 180, but then under 40, the actual definition under 40 is idiot. Like, I don't know if it's probably still that way, but like originally when the test was put together, that's kind of funny, but
perhaps, in some areas I qualify in that 40 and under range and in others, maybe a little higher.
Bro, you've done amazingly well with this business, and, it's really changed the archery world in a lot of ways. And, it's been so much fun to watch, having seen it from the beginning, and we can get into some of that because I'd love to dive. Evan and I want to dive into the history of TAC with you today because the genesis of this project and company is just, it's incredible. So every time I go, I'm like even more in awe.
Well, yeah, so it's because I am too, growing. By the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It keeps growing. Alan has seen it since the beginning and, actually since its inception. It's been more than we thought it would be. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And to continue to see it grow and be able to, expand and grow it so that more people can attend has been an absolute riot.
What a pleasant surprise. Yeah. No kidding.
Yes.
Very cool. It's cool for all of us because we're all part of it. So. Mm-hmm. Can only imagine what, and I know you guys have worked very hard and we can go into that later too, because I've seen the way you guys work. It's insane. So, in the beginning, just in case one of our listeners doesn't know what Total Archery Challenge is, let's just quickly, Sean, how would you describe it in a paragraph, a sentence?
Yeah. So real briefly, what it is Total Archery Challenge is an archery 3D archery shoot, non-competitive or a fun shoot that is open to everyone, expert to novice. The idea behind it is to bring anyone who loves or has the desire to shoot archery is welcome, and to be able to present that to them to where Alan, where you're more on the expert side, if you will, in the hunting world of archery. And somebody novice could stand right next to you and participate in this event without any of the intimidation factors, if you will, that people run into sometimes. The archery community has been amazing at opening their arms to these newcomers at Total Archery Challenge events and other events, I'm sure, too, now. But in helping them, coaching them, and getting them to be welcomed into the archery world.
Yeah. Very interesting. It's interesting how you describe it, because the shot difficulty on some of those courses is anything but entry level. And so and we'll get into this later, but I think the magic of the event is the fact that it's fun and non-scoring, but extremely difficult all at the same time. All wrapped into one. The shot difficulty is like, I mean, I break arrows on the course typically, right? Yeah. And you're saying it's a beginner course, and you have somebody whose archery is their life breaking arrows. So that's just a really interesting paradox.
Have you shot a beginner course? I don't know. So
I don't know. Are there different courses?
Yeah. So. Okay. Yeah, like a loophole course, for example, is not going to be as technical as what you're shooting. You're typically on like a Sitka or a knock-on prime, something like that. the Leupold course is set up to be more of that. I'm not going to say entry level, because you can make any course entry level simply by scooting in, right? We don't have a rule on if it's a 100-yard shot and your friend only shoots out to 50 yards, then we encourage you to get on the mountain with them and let them scoot into 50. So any course could technically be an entry level, but Leupold is set up to be more of that moderate shooting level as opposed to those other courses that were designed strictly to be hard. But so, you can make any course work.
Okay. So on that, because you have multiple courses named either for industry manufacturers or whoever is sponsoring that course. Mm-hmm. When someone's going on to sign up, are there certain courses that are like a Leupold where it's, you know, a max 50 or a max 60? Is that defined in that course during the registration process?
Yeah. So how do you know?
Again, they've never shot.
Yeah. Before. So they're if you've been on our, if you get on our website, it's defined.
Okay.
To what those distances are. And there's an asterisk there that basically says, you know, venue or space provided, meaning if we're claiming you can shoot 100 and something yards on the Hoyt course, well, if we get there and the venue doesn't have that capability and it ends up being 90 yards, you know, that may happen. But the whole intent is to describe it to the best we can for each of these venues. But you can get all that information on the website. Yep. Go into that event and it shows all the courses that are at that event and then what that distance is and description.
But Sean, it does seem like even now that I think about it, I have like after I've shot one of the morning courses or whatever, I'll go in the afternoon and shoot one of the closer courses. And there still though is a little bit of an extreme vibe to because we're on a mountain. We're, you know,
yes,
it's a lot different than obviously setting up 20 to 40 yard shots in a cow pasture.
Right. Yes. The idea behind that is it is attractive, and I don't think we can make anything so simple that it's an archery range like our open range down there at the base area. And the reason for that is you can get that anywhere.
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. There's 1,000 3D shoots a weekend all across the country, and you can do that anywhere you want. So the idea is really, even on those easier courses, once again, you can make that as easy as you want. Step to the left, step to the right, scoot in, whatever you need to do to make it fun for you. You can't step behind the cone. We ask you not to extend the range. If you're caught doing it, then we're going to pull you off the mountain because it's not safe. But you can certainly shorten the range and open that target up. Most of those targets, not all, but 90% of the targets we set, you could take a couple steps left or right and it'll open the target up.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And that's done on purpose so that you can, for those people that, you know, arrows aren't cheap. We recognize that. You wouldn't think so by the setup, but if you step left or right, you're going to be able to open that up.
Yeah.
So, but I will say this, there's a lot of guys that are entry level or that only have pins out to 60 yards, or even that we have some big crowds in the East that do the traditional shooting recurves.
Oh yeah.
Those guys, they're like, you know what? No way. We're shooting from the cone. We like watching these arrows fly. It's totally different than anything we shoot in the traditional world. We love it. We're here to knowing full well, we're launching arrows and having a good time. So, we still want to maintain that exciting difficulty all the while making it possible to where the entry level guy or the mid range shooter can still participate and have a good time.
Yeah. Okay. Now that's a great intro for somebody who's been to TAC to kind of hear the vision of what you're trying to accomplish there. And I think you nailed it. So let's get into a little bit of how it all came together. Sean, you and I have known each other a pile of years. I mean, do you remember what year it was we met and started climbing mountains, chasing mule deer together?
Yeah. So, it had to be late 04 or early 2005. In fact, it was 2005 because we were doing that Hunting Now video series, working with the outfitter with you guys, Bull and Lewis Outfitting. And that's how we met, was through that, using some of those videos of yours to help promote your product, but also create one of our own. So I'm going to say probably early 2005 is when you and I met.
So that year, archery season rolled around and I was trying to find a big deer, and Sean's like, I think I might know where some big deer could be. Let's go on this climb. And so we picked this, one of the steepest mountains in the Wasatch, and we start going up, and Sean is literally scaling cliffs like Spider-Man. And I'm like, and he has this giant pack too. Like, this pack is huge and it is full. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that is a big pack. And so we're scaling these cliffs and I am completely scared out of my mind. Like, I'm like shaking. It is really dangerous stuff. And I'm like, dude, I am not comfortable with this. He's like, oh yeah, well, my wife is like a sport climber and I've done tons of rock climbing. I'm like, well, bro, my wife doesn't do that and I don't do that. Anyway, we somehow get up these cliffs and we get into this little area where we can sleep and we can kind of see the mountain and it's getting dark. And so we pull out our sleeping bags and Sean pulls out of his pack this negative 20 sleeping bag that filled his entire yep. pack. So his pack wasn't, it looked big, but it was just a giant sleeping bag from Alaska. And it wasn't like in a stuff sack. It was just filling his whole pack. I'm like, oh, well, there's the big pack. And so he lays it out. We go to where I thought we go to sleep. So I wake up around midnight and I look over and he's glassing. The moon's out. And the guy, I'm like, Sean, it's midnight. What are you doing? He's like, I can't sleep, man. And I think I see deer. And the guy's like so intense. He's yes. literally, I'm trying to get sleep and the dude is glassing all night. I don't know if you slept that night.
I didn't. I struggled with sleep for quite a few. I still do for that matter, but nothing like that when you and I were hunting. But I still struggled with sleep quite a bit.
So that was my intro to Sean DeGray, intensity. And so then it turned out you ended up working for my company for a couple years. Yep. And you did, it's interesting how this play, I like ultimately fate or whatever, you ran like a lot of government compliance and licensing and things like that. And so you got very good at like dealing with authorities having jurisdiction and knowing how to, and so from there, your next job was, tell us about your next job and how that.
Yeah. So I, from there I went to the Color Run, which is Bigsley Event House was the owner of that company. And did events for them. And a large part of the ability for me to do what I did there was the compliance side, getting permitting done and being able to decipher city code to get people to understand that we could do this or couldn't do that, whatever. Because it seemed like when I was working for your company, I felt like I was fighting over what code meant.
Yeah.
Very often so that we could get into cities to sell.
And so you guys were doing races, right? So you had to get permits for
these races. You got to get permits for that and get the city on board. It was a 5K fun run is what it was. Mm-hmm. And it transitioned really well as far as the compliance side. The event setup execution side, I knew some of by helping others throughout the years, just from on the side, right? Just doing this or doing that. I had some basic understanding. But at the Color Run, it was a new company. We drank from a fire hose. I mean, we were initially planning on doing 18 events that first year. I think we ended up doing 60. Ooh. And cranked it all the way up to where across the world, it was over 200 events.
Wow.
Worldwide. And so there were five of us that were kind of the regional and national guys that maintained all that. And so we were drinking from a fire hose and learning a lot. And so it's a very fortunate experience for me to be able to get involved with that, get a really good understanding of how events work and what makes an event more marketable than others and how to do that. And so being able to take that and apply it to the archery world is what we did. I mean, in the end, I applied the same plan, if you will, that I learned there, but I applied it to a totally different industry.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Amazing.
And so it's pretty amazing. Yeah. It was really cool to watch.
You said earlier you said there's hundreds of 3D shoots or thousands of 3D shoots every weekend all over the country. And that's very similar to Color Run. There's 5Ks. all over the place.
Mm-hmm. And all over.
Nobody's signing up for these 5Ks. But the Color Run did something different where, you know, you get your friends involved and you're throwing chalk or whatever. And it was just some kind of novel idea that made it more fun and more approachable for the masses. And I think, you know, whatever, I think that was a bit of a fad. And what you did is not a fad, mm-hmm. because I think, you know, you did something more than just like a unique gimmick. You did a unique, like, foundational principle of like putting it up on a mountain and using ski resorts and that sort of thing. That's like, and making it a social event and all the other things you've done. But it was just an absolute, the genesis of that was absolutely amazing to watch.
Yeah, no, yes, the lifespan has been longer than the Color Run's lifespan was. I would agree that there was a sizzle in the pan, and maybe that has gone away a little bit. But for the Color Run, and on Total Archery Challenge, we followed the same principles on how to apply certain things to this event. And quite frankly, I think you could probably take this and apply it to any event. We'll see, because we're going to launch some other things here that we're using the same idea that we did with this. But I'm confident that by doing this, it opens it up to where there's growth. Now, that's not to say those first few years were a struggle. They were. It takes a minute to kind of get your feet under you and educate the masses. But once they were educated, it exploded.
Yeah. Right.
And your base was here in Utah. As far as the events go, because going back to the history, I remember Anthony Dixon and Sean Monson
and
FMP Productions, and they started it. And I want to say the first event I remember was like 2008, 2009 was Bowcast at the Bird.
Yeah. So they had that event, Bowcast at the Bird. They had that event for 6 or 7 years.
Okay.
And in the end, I would help those guys set up and do things. I really like Sean and Anthony Dixon. Ultimately it didn't work out. There was a flaw in the formula, if you will, in my opinion. I had an idea in my mind on how that should go, to grow it. But those guys were done. I think there was some burnout there. You know, after you do it for 6 or 7 years and it's not accomplishing what you want it to. And so I came in, I said, well, if you're not going to do it, I am. I've got some ideas that I think will work. So we, Total Archery Challenge, basically bought Bowcast at the Bird and the Mountain Mile, if you will. Mm-hmm. And then that was it. We did a name change. We had some of their assets, but they were branded. So really, we just did a nice clean cut to pay them. So it wasn't something, because we could have gone and just started our own and done it that way. But we wanted it to be done the right way, which was to go to them. Hey, here's what we'll do. Let's negotiate what this deal is. And then we'll go from there.
Do you feel, Sean, that was an important move to like start from maybe step one or two in the ladder? With their format? Was it helpful?
The idea of doing the archery on the mountain, yes, that idea is very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We changed a ton of the formula outside of that, you know, to the dismay of some, but obviously to the greater for others, because it grew. So,
what are some of the things that you changed that you felt were important?
So some of that I think is our secret sauce on why it grows and continues to grow. There's two main things that we did different that I would point out to you on the side, but it's not something that we're going to share, because there's some things there that some questions that we answer, and this goes for every time we look at opening event. There's some questions that we say, okay, we need to answer these questions. And if this ends up at a certain, for example, let's say you ask these 10 questions, each one has a point basis to it. And if the points reach this, then it's a guaranteed open and will do well. Mm-hmm. An algorithm, if you will, that we've created. And that's what I'm talking about is, you know, we're very particular about how and where we open. And there's certain things that we have to answer yes to in order for that to make sense. Okay. So that some of that, I'm just not going to share because we're using it and it's working.
No, it makes sense. But even let's just take Utah. Let's take the bird.
So for Utah, you could do this pretty easy just because you did. I feel like you and I did Bowcast at the bird together. You, yeah. Jeff and I.
Yeah, I think we did. So I ran that race, the mountain mile, and it was cool stuff.
Yeah, it was. But the thing that we changed drastically from Bowcast at the bird to Total Archery Challenge is we made it less extreme, meaning it wasn't for the elite. It was for everyone. And that was one of the main big changes was to add some stuff in there that wasn't difficult. That's in quotations because snowbird, no matter how you do it's difficult just mountain, rough terrain. Right?
But you can make it less technical. So if you do find a straightaway, you can shoot a longer shot that is less technical on the footing, you know, uphill, downhill, you know, side hill, things like that, that, you know, you don't have to watch your footing in your bubble and be so, so target minded when it comes to putting all the exact little pieces together or you're missing a turkey at 75 yards.
Yeah, correct. And that was probably the largest shift, right? We took it from this elite style to, hey, anyone, we don't care who you are, come out and have a good time.
Yeah.
That was really step one.
Was their system scored?
I don't remember, Alan.
I don't remember.
I know they had the smoker round.
Yeah, that's right. I think the smoker was.
And then they had a certain way of scoring to compete.
Yeah.
And, but we give everyone a scorecard, but it means nothing to us. It's just, we know that most guys like to, challenge their buddies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
they're going to score it.
We offer the scorecard strictly for the, social competitive value, but it means nothing to us.
So why have you decided to never go to a full on scored event, like to compete with a Redding or something like that? You could, I mean, I'm sure it's a possibility. And why have you decided that's not the best, you know, direction?
So the reason we made that decision is there's a lot of scored competition archery out there.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's as inviting to the new shooter. Our whole idea was let's build something that's fun for everyone and can grow the archery industry. Mm-hmm. It was really important to me in the beginning that this grows because that's my market, right? Mm-hmm. Is getting more and more people to come in case there was ever burnout on guys that are like, oh, I've done it, I'm kind of done. So we need to continue this cycle of growing people and bringing people into the archery industry, which I think we've succeeded at. In fact, I know we've succeeded at. And that was the main reason, was to erase that intimidation factor for the new guy. Not saying that guys are at the competitions being lame and making a guy feel small because he's new, but more just when you look at it like, I can't compete. So therefore I'm out. And our event is, we don't care, come out.
Yeah. Well, and interestingly, I've shot this event with Redding champs and professional shooters, and it still draws those guys in. They still want to be there. That's the cool part.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys that do compete that are professional shooters that come, but there's also a lot of guys who don't compete that talk some smack on us because we don't score. Like somehow that's a bad thing to have in the archery industry that you don't score, which is fine. Those are the guys that I'm okay. Hey, good. And we don't want you here.
And yet when you take that mentality, I love the fact that you brought that up because with the old position I had within the, you know, Hoyt here, I would go and I would travel to the ASAs. I would travel to Redding, to some of the indoor World Cups and events like that. Other than the Vegas shoot, the highest attended ASA is still a like mid-level tag event when it comes to attendance.
Yeah.
You're getting so many more attendees because of the family environment and the atmosphere that you guys have created.
Yeah, and that was an intended thing that we wanted to accomplish. I don't know the numbers of ASA shoots or IBOs or anything like that, but I do know that Total Archery Challenge participation is up in the higher numbers for these events that are out there, and it continues to grow. I mean, if I could add more space at these events, it would fill up, and we just don't have the ability to do that. We're going to do some different things to help satisfy some of that demand, but it was with intent to make them more approachable, even to the point where if you can't get on the mountain, because we recognize that not everybody can get on, but we still want to make it to where if you came to the base area, you could still have an enjoyable time there with the vendors, with the shooting. Our shooting range is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. It's giant. We've got things you can win, and you don't have to be have a pass to get on the mountain, if you will, a registered shooter on the mountain to be able to participate in all that. And then, of course, the after parties. So we're trying to create something where, hey, I couldn't get on the mountain, but I can still go and have a good time and meet up with really cool people and network, socialize, build camaraderie, mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's when I think of the event every year, I think of a lot of the social aspect of it. Like I think about, I get to go see friends. I get to see people, industry people that I get to see only a couple times a year. It's almost, I don't know for sure. Maybe you guys could answer this, but it feels like one of the largest archery trade shows mm-hmm. open to the public. Out there. Like I know there's some industry like professional events, but what is it the largest, Sean?
Yeah, so that's a fair question, and I don't know the answer to that because I don't know if there's a consumer direct archery only type event expo out there. I do know that Utah, Pennsylvania, some of those are pretty big, and hats off to our sponsors that come out and they want to, their goal is to create some activation that makes it fun and welcoming for everybody. So you enjoy it. And we're talking about, you know, manufacturers like Hoyt, for example.
Yeah.
They do their novelty shot at a couple events every year. And then you have the Sitkas of the world and they do their stuff. So it's really been cool to get together with all the major manufacturers within the archery industry and outside of the archery industry to create some fun activations and welcoming activations for the people who are just down there in the base area and for the shooters. We're very particular about not being endemic to archery only with our mm-hmm. vendors. As if you haven't noticed, our title sponsor for the last few years was not archery related, like a Yeti, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Black Rifle Coffee, and now Jack Links for the foreseeable future. It's really cool to get all these other brands involved as they're part of this outdoor world we live in. And it's been really cool to see that attraction too, which is something we dreamed of, but until the last 4 or 5 years, it's slowly becoming a reality.
How many companies you have represented at the biggest, let's say the biggest, which one is the biggest? Is it Utah?
Utah vendor area is probably the biggest, the base area. We call it the Mountain Festival. Yeah. We had over 100 companies represented there last year.
Yeah.
And then Pennsylvania and Michigan are probably next, and they're, you know, in that 70 to 90 range.
Well, I'll tell you, if you would have said 300, I wouldn't have been surprised, because walking through it last year, it felt huge to me.
Yeah.
Like there were just aisles and aisles of booths. It felt like I was in a convention center, but I was on the side of a mountain. It was freaking awesome.
Yeah, it's super cool. And we've got some really fun things coming to life. 2024, we'll see a little bit of that trickle in. But 2025 and onward, we're going to see some really cool stuff that everybody owns and is involved in if you're an archery hunter, but it is not an in the archery industry, that we'll be able to add to this expo, if you will. And man, it's crazy. I'm humbled by it. I'm excited by it. You know, you just never know when something could go wrong and the fire dies. And so I just suck it all up, try not to take it for granted, and just extremely grateful for all the participants, but also all of the vendors, sponsors, manufacturers that are involved to make this what it is. Because in the end, it would not be what it is without them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and they're absolutely incredible events. I mean, you talk to guys that have been before, and guys that have only been one time, they take their hunting bow and some buddies, and they're out having a good time. And the next year when they show up, they're not just doing one event, they're doing one or two different locations. Right. Mm-hmm. And not only are they using their hunting setup, they've bought a separate setup and build out just to shoot the events separate of their hunting setup. Like it's insane. Cause they are treating it essentially like a target tournament in how they're building setups and lighter weight arrows for shooting longer distances and things like that.
Yeah. It's really cool to see how people have embraced it. And, you know, if we could let everyone in that wants to be there, we would do it in a heartbeat. But at the cost of how bad that would make the mountain, we have to restrict it. But we're, again, I said it earlier, we're working on some things to get it to where we can create some more space for everyone. But it is so cool to see. I should have pulled out some emails just to share with you guys, but there's countless numbers that say, this is our guys trip. We met these guys 6 years ago at such and such event. We try to do a different event every year. This is our one time a year we meet up because we're all flying in from different states. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's really exciting to see that you get to play your small role in bringing all these people together from all over. And when I say all over, I mean, legitimately in Utah, all 50 states are represented. This is based on pulling a zip code report, but we have people coming in from all 50 states, the United States, and we had 7 countries.
Wow.
That's showing awesome. Up. That includes Canada and Mexico, and then a few from Europe, Australia, New Zealand. Like it's incredible. And they reach out to us saying, hey, we're planning a vacation around Total Archery Challenge. And so it's crazy to me. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. Awesome. But crazy.
Not around a hunting trip, but around an event like this.
Around Total Archery Challenge. Yeah. It's fantastic. So it is really fun to see what we've created. And there's one other thing I'd like to point out, that I've worked in the event industry now a long time, and in the Color Run was the largest 5K period in the world. So we really got to see a lot of things and learn a lot of things. But I will tell you this, our team, the Total Archery Challenge team that travels from event to event, I would put up against any other event execution team out there. These guys are phenomenal. They work hard. They do everything they can to make sure you as the shooter are happy. Does that mean we succeed all the time? No, but we're trying. And these guys love to do it, and they treat it like it's their own. And we, again, this is a team that they deserve a shout out for producing what it is that we have to share, which is Total Archery Challenge.
And it's not a simple event. Like an archery course on the side of a mountain, working with a ski resort and thinking about like safety and everything else, that is, and finding the next target, all of those things on multiple courses. This is not simple. I imagine compared to a 5K, it's a lot more complicated, and that your team executes this across multiple venues. It's a good point, Sean. It's a great team. I also want to point out, like, I've seen your work ethic and your family's sacrifice on building this business. And I've been in awe at that. You know, somebody would be very mistaken to say, oh, Sean DeGray got lucky. I mean, dude, you guys have grinded. And I know, you know, your family is on the road, like driving a semi truck across the country for 3 months straight. Like, speak to that a little bit, if you don't mind, because it's been.
Yeah. So yeah. In the early years, for the first probably 4 or 5 years, it was very much a family event. As far as Monica and I, her dad, our, my brother-in-law, a good friend of mine, and my boys, as they got older, they've been working it since, you know, they were 12 is kind of when they started helping out. And, you know, these kids give up their summers and travel with us all across the country, which is a good adventure. It's fun, but they do miss out on some of those aspects of summer with their homies from school. But it very much is a family event. Now, as we've grown, we've had to expand beyond that. You know, we have 14 guys that travel from event to event to do this, including my kids and my wife. Monica's still very involved, and so are the boys. It's been there's a lot of cool things that come out of that, being able to do this with my family. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys are like, oh man, I could never work with my wife. And you know, I guess I'm just super lucky because I have zero feelings of that. We do definitely have our own, responsibilities, and I tread lightly on when I step into her bucket. I do get involved whenever she needs me to, but dude, I've loved working with my wife. It's been fantastic. So, and then having my boys be able to grow up, work side by side with them, and watch them grow into see a need, fill a need type of guys, right? They're out there. They see something, maybe doesn't fall within their job description, but they know that needs to be done or this needs to be done, and doing that. And then working until sometimes 3 a.m. just fatigued to the max, and smiling and making sure it's enjoyable regardless of how tired we are. There's some really, really cool things that have come out of that that I don't think I would have gotten anywhere else. Yeah. As far as the family goes.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good way to look at a lot of hard work, brother. That's good. I like it.
Yeah.
So going back to the social part of the event, you know, getting so many people there that are just excited to see each other, and groups of buddies that want to do it together and go and rub shoulders with other bow hunters and archers. It's been amazing to watch. I'm curious, Sean, was there any method to that madness? You know, did you follow any sort of formula that allowed you to turn that into such the excitement and the social part of it? How did that happen?
So that's a great question. And this was all part of our original plan was, you know, when we started this, social media was pretty big, right? Mm-hmm. It was happening. It was growing at a rapid rate, and people wanted to be together and share things and do cool things together. And we needed to create an event that people wanted to be together and have fun and do all these things. Now, we've evolved quite a bit since then, based on demand and things like that. We've had to shift the market a little bit to try to accommodate. But we definitely wanted to create something that creates that laughter moment, and that moment of, it's kind of like you and I mean, you and I have been on a boatload of hunts together.
Yep.
And the camaraderie that comes on from those hunts that you get with these people, you create a bond that I think is different than just working together or doing this and that. I don't know what the right term is, but let's just say in hard things. So like the hiking, what you and I talked about. I mean, you've shared that story of when you and I hiked up. I mean, there's some fun times you and I can laugh about that hunt.
Yeah.
That first hunt we did together. And we needed something like that. And it all plays in together with why the setup's the way they are, why we decided long shots. Everybody likes to see their friend launch one and smash into a rock or whatever. And then you all laugh and slap high fives. And how many times do you hear the guy talk about, you know, unless he center punches that target, you don't talk about that. Mm-hmm. You don't talk about the how close they were. You talk about them smashing into a rock or them center punching it. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Those are the laughter moments that we were really, we wanted to see created, because that's what people are sharing on social media. There was a high demand. And another thing I think, and maybe I'm wrong on this and you guys can touch on this. I think there was a demand for, keep in mind before I say this, everyone's welcome. We try to make it more and more welcome for kids and women, but I feel like there was a demand for guys that they needed to get out besides just hunting season to hang out with their buddies and laugh and shoot and do whatever, right?
Yep.
Let's just say do man things.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And kind of get away from the stresses of life. And I think this filled some of that demand.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like I'm not a golfer. Like that's not something I do. So that's not an escape that I have in the summertime.
So Sean,
well, you and I can,
so Sean, what you said there about in hard things. So I forgive me, just a really short story. So I took some Boy Scouts to summer camp several years ago when Jake was young, and they had a great time at camp doing all these fun activities. And on one of the particular days, we did this really long hike. It was like 18 miles. It was super tough. The kids were crying and blistered, and one of them puked, and they complained the entire hike. But then on the last day, that was like on Thursday, and on Saturday we were cleaning up, and I asked each one of them individually. I was just curious, and I wasn't expecting this answer. I asked them, what was your favorite part of summer camp? And every single one of them said the hike. Like, and I'm thinking, guys, you hated the hike. But at the end, yeah, their memory of that. And yep, there's been many times I've walked off tack, very tired. You know, used to hike the backside of Snowbird twice. I mean, you'd be exhausted and maybe blistered or whatever. And you look back on that with fondness. And I think you're really onto something there. You made like this fellowship brotherhood event where people can go have a blast, laugh, get tired, get beat up, break arrows, and it's just a hoot.
Yeah, and in the end, it's a bunch of like-minded folks that are getting together from all over the country. I don't care what event you pick, you're going to meet people from different states. Mm-hmm. They're not coming from that local state.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not all of them is what I mean. There's a large amount of people that are coming from all over. And a lot of that, Evan, you pointed to earlier, guys want to go to new events, check out new terrain, do different, whatever, meet new people. But in response to your point, Alan, my son and I went to Alaska and hunted moose this year, and he's 17. And he shot a smoker of a bull. We're pumped. It's pouring rain on us. We're slapping high fives. In the end, from where he shot, it was a rifle hunt. From where he shot, it took us 2.5 hours to get to the moose. Something we didn't anticipate was how bad crossing this river bottom was. It ended up turning into beaver slough after beaver slough, crossing dams, and you know, basically there's a bunch of sticks poking up that are going to stab you if you fall over.
Mm-hmm.
And what that did is once we got to the moose and we got them all taken care of, we're like, look, we can't pack this moose across this area. Like we can't, it is way too dangerous. If somebody were to slip and fall, this could be detrimental. It could be life threatening if you were to land on a beaver cut branch and stab yourself or fall into the slough and get pulled under. So what it did is we have a rule, 1.5 miles from camp. That's how far you go, or 1.5 miles from where you can get it to a boat or a plane or whatever. Yep. Right. Yep. We ended up being 4 miles because of the route we had to take. And you pack those moose out on your back. It's not light. You can't debone in this area.
Yep.
You're packing about 150 pounds.
If somebody hasn't done that, they don't realize that it is the most miserable load on earth, a moose quarter.
100%. I feel like packing out moose is the hardest physical job I've ever done.
Exactly.
But my point in telling this story is my son throws on a load and we start packing this thing out. And he's moving slow and I'm kind of watching his face and you can see the stress, right? The stress on his face I can't do this stress. And we had hiked probably about an hour and this kid is dying. I thought he was going to cry almost. Now he didn't, but that's kind of the emotional face I saw, was like, this is really hard. He never said a word. We sat down and I was talking to him about, you know what, it is hard. This is what I do though. I pick a thing like 50 yards or 100 yards away or whatever it is. And I just have to get there. Because if you look at it like 4 miles, I got to pack this mother. Mm. That's very overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So I'm the kind of guy that's like, okay, before I get a rest, I'm just going to get to this spot or this spot. So him and I are having that talk. And as we're resting, taking a drink of water, and then dude, he gets up and he just throws it on, you know, and kind of shrunks it up. And then he's just like, and takes off. And it was a total change in attitude. And so we do this whole hunt, whatever. We get home. Guess what he shares with people? We saw bears. We did the fishing. We're hunting moose. We're seeing care. I mean, we had a million beautiful experiences. What does he share with everyone?
Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. That's right.
People love hard things, especially when you accomplish them. Yeah. They love them. That was a long-winded story, but I felt like you needed all those details.
I think that's part of the magic of what happened with TAC, and why it part of the reason why it's a huge success. It's a great point, man. It's a great point.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, only armed services that doesn't have a problem recruiting is the Marines. Because it's a tough one. They have the easiest time recruiting. Because if you're gonna do the hard one, you know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and we have a Marine that works for us. He did in the past. He took a few years off. He's coming back. His name's Patrick Booth. And dude, I'll tell you what, they must, because that dude is hardcore. He's an amazing worker. And he served in the Marines. I can't remember. He had 3 or 4 deployments. And I mean, those dudes are tough.
Yeah.
Go Marines.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. Well, this is fascinating, Sean. Well, let me ask you one more question here. And Evan, feel free to interrupt if you have other questions. I have such a curious mind. I just want to know stuff. But I'm curious, Sean, what would you say was the biggest challenge you faced over the years? And maybe you still have it, but
still
have it. Okay.
So our biggest challenge, honestly, with Total Archery Challenge is registration. Mm-hmm. The reason is the demand is high and we're limited how we do it. The fact that we have so many courses available on multiple days at multiple times, we've struggled to get a platform that can make it easier to register. That is our number one priority in fixing. That is the hardest thing to fix, because if you have 3,000 spots and 7,000 people want them, that's a struggle. Mm-hmm. So there's two things that we're doing to answer that. And I'm glad you asked this question, because this is one thing I wanted I was hoping we would discuss. We're working on a registration platform to answer that question. Will it solve the problem? It will make it less frustrating, but demand is demand. Mm-hmm. All this will do is make that part of it less frustrating, easier to register. We sell out now, and Pennsylvania sold out in an hour. And now once we fix the problems it has, it's going to sell out in 20 minutes. But at least you're not spending 30 minutes trying to register thinking you got a spot and then it sells out while you're filling out your guys, your group's info.
Yeah,
that'd be frustrating.
So we're trying to work. It's so frustrating. And we understand a lot of people think it's funny to see how angry people are about it. And they think that we don't care. Or we're not doing anything. And it's total BS. We've got 8 customer service reps working full time to take care of all these people and do our best to get them together with their groups. And it's a whole bunch of work that no one else does. Now it's either because they don't need to or they don't care. But in the event world, I'm pretty sure we're the only company that does try to get you to try to adjust things to make it work. Does it always work? No. And the squeaky wheel, man, those guys are squeaky. There's some anger out there because the participants are so passionate about the event, and I don't fault them for that, but there are better ways to take care of things as opposed to lashing out with anger. Yeah. So in response to this challenge, which I'm telling you, registration is the hardest part of this job.
Yeah.
It creates anxiety like you wouldn't believe for everyone involved, because we struggle to fix it with what we're doing. So we've invested money before in the past. We lost a bunch of money in a build that we tried to fix it. That's all gone. It didn't work. So we got rid of that company. We're working with a new company trying to build out something that makes it easier. But the other answer is we are going to add a boatload of events. So we're gearing up to open up all across the US and Canada, actually, next year, 2025.
Wow.
Nice.
So we're trying to get that, but I'm not talking one or two. We are going to do a ton. Yeah,
so
we're going to open up events all over the country to help meet this demand. So if you didn't get into Montana, well, there's going to be a whole bunch of these other options closer by around you, not relatively close, that you can go for. And we're hopeful that you'll still get this incredible Total Archery Challenge experience. It may not be at Big Sky because you didn't make it, but it could be at some other cool spot that's somewhere near.
Well, and so,
and that's our goal right now.
So then I'm imagining basically like a 3 bus tour, if you will, where you'll have one set of targets and a crew for Canada. You'll have another set of crew for out west and another set of crew for the east. And you're going to be having multiple locations running on the same weekends. Cause if you look at the schedule now, there's what, five free weekends from the first event in Oklahoma until the Brighton event in Utah, five weekends in the entire month from, or summer, sorry, from April to July.
Yeah. Yeah, so there will be some doubled up weekends, which is okay, right? Yeah,
especially with multiple crews now.
Yep. So, but the goal I think here is to, we want to take care of the participants. We want them to continue to have an enjoyable time. The registration process, although they feel like it's only a thorn in their side, I assure you it's a bigger thorn in ours because they're dealing with 5 guys in their group and we're dealing with thousands upon thousands. Mm-hmm. Like, we want to be able to give them what they want and make it easier and better and just grow this thing. Demand's there, and we're going to bring it to the masses and we're going to come on really strong. So I think you'll start to see things come to light over the next few months as we build this out for 2025, but we're going to be opening all over the country.
That's exciting, Sean.
Yeah. Is your goal, or do you have a vision right now that you have a Total Archery event in every state?
I think we should.
Minus maybe Hawaii and Alaska, depending on logistics and things like
that. No. Hawaii and Alaska too. look, you're asking Sean, I want it in every state. Why not? I think it'd be fantastic. I would love to go to Hawaii and pretend that I'm working. Right. And Alaska, anyone that brings up Alaska on any podcast or any conversation, and when they don't, I bring it up. I love Alaska. Mm-hmm. I love it. It's home to me. It's where I learned to work. I've been going up there since I was 16 years old. And so, yes, we will be in Alaska. Absolutely.
That's great.
And logistically, it's hard and expensive.
Yeah.
But I think we need to be there because I know Alan would show up.
Absolutely.
Well, and I would be sure that I was there because I know you're going to schedule that right before a hunting season would open.
So
you can be there, tear it down, and within 2 days, you're on location in a tent ready to go. So I'm all for
that.
Maybe
what we'll do is we will set up a course that has caribou, black bear, wolverines, moose, and
doll sheep.
Doll sheep.
A natives course.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sitka black belt deer.
Yep.
Yeah. And then you're ready to go.
Yeah.
Like, so, but the point is that I think it's important. There's no way to really voice this because people either want it or they don't want it, but we understand how frustrating registration is. Mm-hmm. We see it. We're thousands of emails deep every time we open a registration. And we've hired a lot. Everybody's like, oh, you're making all this money and blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, and we're investing in the company.
Yeah.
We want you to have a good time. That's why we have so many customer service reps right now to take care of you and make sure you get what you need or do the best they can to get you what you need. But in the end, ultimately, what we have to do is fix registration so it's not as frustrating and open more space. And that is our goal. 2025 will be crazy town, but I think people are going to love it.
Well, that certainly makes a lot of sense that there's very clear alignment between people's frustrations and your frustrations. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you're doing everything humanly possible to fix those issues. And it seems like expanding the business and opportunities is one of those fixes along with some software solutions. But, you know, right. As in yep. all things, Sean, you've put your heart into making things run well and building a great company. And I'm sure that this will work out along those same lines. And, you know, sincere congratulations to you from Hoyt.
Thank you.
And from me personally on building a great company and really, you know, being, you know, a massive source of happiness and, mm-hmm. and fun for the archery industry.
Yeah.
Like a lot of us have just had a blast at your events and it's been a win-win for everyone. So thank you.
I appreciate
congrats.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. It's been awesome. So, and thank you to you guys. I mean, we have to, without participants and sponsors, we're nothing but an idea. So a big thank you goes out to everyone involved on our end too, right? Like you guys. So thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I know, like I said, and Alan has said it as well. It's so much fun to be there and experience the mountain other than just the hunting environment with buddies that you may not normally get to, or again, making new ones.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. So
well, that's great. Cool. Thanks for letting us into your world, Sean, and letting us know some of the secret sauce and everything that's gone into TAC. We'd love to do this again. I can't wait to hear what's coming in 25. So maybe as you close to having some of those details, let's get them out there.
I think that'd be a great idea because once we're ready to launch how it's all going to go down, I think it'd be fantastic to do that with you guys because it's a big undertaking, but dude, it is going to be fantastic.
All right, let's do that.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, thanks guys.
Yep. All right, thank you.
Yep, sir.